Hey, this is Dave Brenner from Theory of a Dead Man, and you're listening to This Week in Geek.
Hey guys, this is Mike the Birdman Dodd from ThisWeekInGeek.net. Believe me, I'm everywhere, like a fungus or a spore, or like that little old lady you see crossing the street. I don't know where I'm going with that one. Don't use this one. Never. Don't use it. It sucks. 10 seconds.
Epic fail.
Did you grow up with the NES, PlayStation, Star Wars, cartoons, and 80s TV? Do you like to think who would win in a fight between Batman and the Master Chief? Comics, games, movies, music, and TV. They're gonna tell you everything you need. Superheroes or not, they got your back. They're gonna save the world of geeks.
Hello and welcome to the second episode of the all-new, all-different Nerd News Network here on This Week in Geek. I almost called it the Geekcast Radio Network. See, folks, I have not been back on This Week in Geek in a long time. So, I am, of course, TFG and Mike. Joining me this week, as per usual, Ryan and Amy Flo-Merkley. Hello, sir. How are you?
Good. First words, and you're trying to shill your network already.
Hey,
terrible.
You know, if we really just combined them and just had it be geekcastradio.com, it would be the largest American-Canadian combination ever. Probably not, but anyway.
Yeah.
No.
So we just released Breaking Bad Season 2. I'm actually going to mention this when we record the Breaking Bad Season 3 remote control episode, but I've noticed two things since we recorded and released our Season 2 review for Breaking Bad over on remote control. Number one, Jesse was in Mission Impossible 3. Aaron Paul was in. I did not know it because I'm in the middle of watching the Mission Impossible movies to record a podcast on them. And I completely forgot and didn't even know that that was, oh my God. And next week, I'm going to make you watch this. Hopefully you'll be all right. Next week, it's going to be a little late. A belated Valentine's Day thing here because Netflix released a new original movie called Girlfriend's Day, and I had no idea what the hell it was. I thought I recognized the guy on the cover on the Netflix thing. Hopefully it's on Netflix in Canada. But it's a film starring Saul, Bob Odenkirk. And I'm like, oh my God, I can't watch this until Ryan sees this first. I can't watch this until we are able to talk about it. Oh my God. So I'm like,
it's not on the
Canadian Netflix.
I don't know. It's not on the list so far.
Okay. I'll find it for
Finding
you.
Finding Dory in French is. So.
Ooh. Okay.
Yeah.
I'll find it for you. The other thing that has been really big in my life recently is I found an album by this new metal band. They're called Galactic Empire. I said I would talk about this. I said this last week that
shit,
I would.
It is on there. Son of a bitch.
Nah. So next week, folks, join us here on the Nerd News Network as Ryan and I talk about Better Call Saul starring in Girlfriend's Day. So anyway.
I'll just do what I do with Dodd and tell you I watched it and instead watch...
come on season, now.
And instead watch Season 2 of The Expanse again.
Come on now. Anyway, my biggest thing over the last couple of weeks, at least since my birthday on the 9th of this month, was I found on iTunes something called Galactic Empire. And it is a Star Wars metal band that takes some of the John Williams music. They take tracks from all six of the original films. Well, the original three and then the prequels. And they basically take the music and put it to metal. We'll be right back. it's amazing, and I love it, and it's awesome. So that's what's been going on with me. What's been going on with you?
Not a whole lot. I mean, basically, it's not a lot. I'm time constraints and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. I'm watching films for review, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. I'll just admit it. I'm going to go see the movie we'll be talking about momentarily tomorrow. And aside from that, still loving the Expanse TV series, which is based on a series of novels that I've really, really enjoyed. There's 6 books in. It's season 2 of the show. And it's funny, I've posted this on a couple different places, but back when they announced this was going to be a television show, mm-hmm. I thought it would be fairly good. I just thought it would make a fairly good TV show while I was reading it. I didn't think it would end up being this good. Season 2 so far, the first 4 episodes have been amazing, and it seems to show pretty much no signs of slowing down in season 2, because they're about to reach the best parts of some of the books.
Mm-hmm.
And man, it's been surprisingly great. So yeah, I'm watching that, and not a whole lot else. I'm playing mm-hmm. a lot of XCOM 2, the Long War mod for it, which is fantastic.
Awesome. All right, getting into the first story, you are going to be talking about Logan. What's going on with the Berserker?
Just that the early reviews are surprisingly insanely positive. Now, that sort of runs the gamut with people just sort of saying, like, eh, it's fairly good, to people comparing it to The Dark Knight in terms of it's by far the best in the franchise or the best for that character.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh. Technical difficulties. Let's move on, shall we?
Hey, bub. You are listening to This Week in Geek.
Snicked.
You're not comparing it to much at this point. I mean, part of the problem with Wolverine, the character has been the movies featuring him and only him have not been particularly good. Although Wolverine was great for the first 2/3, and then the last third was a video game-esque series of nonsensical boss fights put together just so they had more conflict. But
mm-hmm.
Wolverine can be a really good character, and there's a lot of really good comics that feature him, and there's even some really good ones that focus on him.
Mm-hmm.
We just haven't seen that adapted so far. And
now, Logan is supposed, is it supposed to be Old Man Logan? I've read part of the description, but I haven't really read much else.
In terms of the character being old and breaking down, that aspect of it is okay. Accurate, but it's not Old Man Logan. Like, he doesn't have a family, etc.,
okay.
etc.
Okay.
It's a very different adaptation of that. It's actually closer to the Wolverine / Logan from The End, which was a older X-Men. Actually, it was a Marvel-wide sort of thing where they did The End / Last Moments of a lot of different characters.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, yeah, it's a broken down Logan coming across X-23. I don't want to talk too much about it. I mean, people,
right.
I'm sure, have seen the trailers, but
yes.
It's looking really good. Reaction to it's been really good. I'll be curious to see what happens when more comic book fans see it, but for the most part, the people that have seen it have really enjoyed it, and I'll see how I feel about it. But it does look really good, and it seems like Fox, for the most part, at least with the R-rated stuff, is on the upswing.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, I don't really know anybody, I can't think of anyone, who didn't like Deadpool.
Mm-hmm.
Even people who hate or have no interest in comic book films I know of that have seen it really enjoyed it.
Or people like me that just, you know, think, you know, Reynolds is nothing but Van Wilder. But, I mean, no, Deadpool was awesome. I loved Deadpool. It was great.
And I mean, apparently this one's close to the, or Logan's close to the same. Now, on the other films, not so much. I mean, Fantastic Four was a disaster. X-Men Apocalypse was
a disaster.
I wouldn't go that far. It's the definition of a forgettable movie. I mean, I can barely remember anything about it. I still remember when I did that was another one I had seen in advance, and I did a review. I actually typed it up and everything else, and a couple days later, Andrew asked me, what do you think of the movie? I couldn't remember any of it.
I think the only thing people remember from Apocalypse is the fact that you've got Olivia Munn as Psylocke. I think that's the only thing most people will remember from that movie.
I remember the fact that she essentially had absolutely no dialogue, but neither did anybody else in the movie. I mean,
and didn't they cut Jubilee's dialogue again?
Yeah, and I mean, nobody had anything to sort of establish themselves, and then they shoehorned in the Wolverine cameo for essentially no reason aside from, hey, look, it's Hugh Jackman again, and
so
he
wait,
super jacked.
In 17 years, okay, 2000 to 2017, in 17 years, we've gotten X1, 2, and 3. We've gotten First Class. We've gotten
Days of Future Past.
Days of Future Past, then Apocalypse.
Six X-Men movies. This will be the third Wolverine film.
Right. Okay. Six of these X-Men movies, four of them were directed by Singer. X1 and 2 were, and then First Class wasn't, and then
First Class.
Days of Futures Past and Apocalypse were. So yeah, four out of six. Four out of the six X-Men movies were directed by Bryan Singer. The first two X-Men movies, I thought they were great. I loved them at the time. I can still go back to them and enjoy them now. I am probably one of the only people that enjoy X3, but whatever. The only reason why...
Oh, yes.
I know it is, but the only reason why I enjoy it is because they got friggin' Frasier to be Beast, and he was able to say one line from the animated series, "Oh, my stars and garters." That was one of the only reasons why I like that film. Anyway,
that's a terrible reason to like a terrible movie.
Shut up.
So there.
And then Singer comes back and does Days of Futures Past, which was okay.
It was pretty solid. Apocalypse wasn't great, though.
Outside of the fact that you look like Barney or Grape Ape half the time.
Yeah, that was not a good look. So they've been hit and miss.
Yeah,
I don't know. Fox is suddenly on an upswing. I mean, between this and Deadpool, but yeah, we'll see. I mean, I have high hopes for Logan.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
I do too. It looks
series of trailers.
Yeah,
made it look really good, and they've done a good job with the marketing because some of the viral videos of the experimenting sort of things on X-23 were really well done, and obviously some money and efforts went into those. It's looking good. They've definitely learned from it, and I don't know, we'll see. I mean, listen, the other company has rumors that Mel Gibson's going to direct Suicide Squad 2. At this rate, I'm just going to give up on DC making a half-decent film. It's funny, because before I go into them, I pump myself up to the point that generally I have to go into movies feeling really, really indifferent, and have become really good at it. So, I mean, I'm excited for Logan right now. Mm-hmm. If you were to ask me 5 minutes before I see it how I felt, I won't be feeling anything.
Yeah.
It's just how I do it.
I know.
But, yeah, there's some franchises and some series that it's really hard to feel that way. Like, when I'm going to go see a Fantastic Four movie, it's really hard to think, well, this could be enjoyable. I'm going to come in with an open mind.
Now, look, I will say this until my dying breath and whatever. The first two films were... The first film, the very first, the 2005 film, was not... God awful. Was not the worst. Like, when I think of Marvel properties as films, the worst ones I can think of are Elektra and Fantastic Four, the reboot. The first two Fantastic Four films, the only reason why I like them is because I liked who they had as Ben and Johnny. They had Michael Chiklis as Ben Grimm / The Thing. And they had future Captain America Chris Evans as Johnny Storm. And they really sold it for me. I have not, nor will I see the reboot, so I'm not saying anything. I'm not giving any opinion on something I have not seen. But I just have no interest in it. And I don't know...
To be fair, I'll give this to the reboot. They have a better actor as Johnny Storm than anyone that's in any of the other movies. Because, I mean, Michael B. Jordan is an insanely good actor. Which you can, watch any 5 minutes of Creed. and feel that way. But I mean, the rest of it, it was poorly written. And no attention paid to continuity. The haircuts change from scene to scene, which is hilarious.
Yeah. Marvel does have some turds, but DC has more turds than Marvel, because I remember a mutual friend of ours told us one time that he took his father to see Green Lantern, and they walked out, like, 10 minutes into the movie.
Yeah, it was a great movie.
But DC, if they would have gone and, you know, tried to set up a universe, like, the correct way, like the Marvel way, you know.
We're about to talk a bit about that, too, in that we got looks of some of the Justice League figures at Toy Fair, but...
Yeah, we'll talk about it at the end of the show.
We'll get
into that later. So, my first story for this week, I actually found this locally. It's actually from Glamour's website, but a friend of mine who is on the local morning show, she runs one of the morning shows on one of the stations here in Louisville, pointed this out to me. And this was basically around Valentine's Day. These Burger King locations are putting sex toys in adult meals for Valentine's Day. I am only bringing this story up because of Mike Dodd. Yeah, I really am. While most of us might agree that a Valentine's Day date at a fast food joint is kind of the worst thing ever, Burger King is prepared to fight that stigma. This year, the Israeli version of the OG chain is offering a romantic boxed food for two called the Adults Meal, designed for those 18 and older to bring your bring your ID, and it comes with two Whoppers, two packets of fries, two beers, and a romantic adult toy. Spoiler alert, that means sex toy. Okay, so they say the Israeli version of Burger King. So is this like a non-Burger King chain, even though the box that's pictured in the article says Burger King all over it? Like, I don't even know. Oh my god, this is just...
Still dog to call our Israeli correspondent.
I know, right? Oh my god. I just don't know.
I just have no idea.
I feel like they should have just kept it under the same name and called it the Happy Meal.
Oh, crap, yeah. All right, so we have to talk about the...
I'll show you a Whopper.
That's not special sauce.
Nice.
Okay, so we have to talk about the other giant elephant in the room, the Mr. Freeze suit from 1997, because apparently he is fighting a certain Canadian band.
They get along. Unfortunately.
Yeah, unfortunately.
I would love to see him physically fight them.
So this is from the Daily Dot. Oh, ain't that the truth? Arnold Schwarzenegger took to Twitter the other day saying, when Congress is less popular than herpes and Nickelback, how did 97% of them get reelected? Gerrymandering. And Nickelback fires back, big fans, approval rate this. Batman and Robin, please leave us out of your future wisdom drops. Donkashane, Herr Governor. And it goes on and goes on, but that was pretty much the thing. And you know what? I've said it before, and I know you're going to crap all over them, and that's fine. That's your opinion. You're allowed to express your opinion. But, you know, I've said before that I don't care what they do personally as long, and I know you're going to say they have good music, you know, as long as they give me a good album. And so far, from what I've heard of the news...
As long as they consider torturing music, and...
Thank you. Thank you for that.
No problem. What did music ever do to them? That's what I want to know.
What did the world ever do to the... Anyway, never mind. But I just thought that was hilarious, and this is going to allow our good buddy JT from Saskatoon to come on the show, because we're going to take a quick break, and he and I are going to talk about the two latest Nickelback singles, their cover of Don Henley's Dirty Laundry, and the new hit single, Feed the Machine, from the album of the same name, coming out in June of this year. We'll be back after this.
Spoiler alert, they sound like every other Nickelback song.
Have you heard the song yet?
Thankfully, no.
We'll fix that, folks. It's the head of dead, yes. And all the boys in the newsroom got a running bet. Get the widow on the
Alright, folks, as promised here on Nerd News Network, I've got JT from Saskatoon with me, and we are pretty much between America and Canada. We're pretty much the only two Nickelback fans that ever even exist, because apparently Nickelback has no fans.
The few, the proud, the totally insane.
And we're here briefly to talk about some stuff, because Nickelback, as I mentioned right before we took this break, last year, which I'm surprised I didn't know about this, because 2016 was rough, but I'm really surprised I did not know that they released a cover of Don Henley's Dirty Laundry. I thought that, I mean, obviously when I saw the upcoming single for Feed the Machine coming, I went back and I looked at their stuff and I'm like, oh, hey, they covered Dirty Laundry, but it was last year. How did I not know about this last year? Why haven't I been listening to this song already?
Yeah, I missed that completely. Like, I thought they were on a 2-year hiatus to let Chad heal from his cyst surgery.
Yep.
And that in itself is if you can look it up yourself, folks, but the long and the short of it is they had insurance on Chad's throat, as you're wont to do in the music industry, with like Lloyd's of London. And they tried to make a claim on that insurance due to the surgery. Lloyd's sued them to say they were breaching the terms of the agreement, and then Nickelback countersued them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, wow. And I missed that. I noticed that, but then, yeah, we both missed Dirty Laundry, and it's good.
Yeah, it's really, like, I like the Don Henley original, obviously, but again, I do not mind when a lot of, like, okay, you look at, really briefly, you look at Daughtry. They covered Foreigner's Feels Like the First Time.
That's
Shut up. I love the original by Foreigner. I just love the cover version by Daughtry more. I had never heard of Love Runs Out until I heard it on Blackstone Cherry's new album, and apparently it's a One Republic song. So, you know, rock and roll people, modern rock and roll, sometimes is better than the original, sometimes. But Nickelback, Dirty Laundry, absolutely love that track. But before I even knew about that, I had heard about the Feed the Machine announcement for the new single, for the new album. So Feed the Machine is the new single name, and the new album name is also Feed the Machine. I'm waiting for Neo and Morbius Morpheus to show up here, because seriously, that album cover has a very Matrix-y vibe to it.
Yes, although Morbius the Living Vampire would
no,
be a really cool cross.
No,
with
no.
Morbius. I'm going to be honest, the first time I listened to this track, wasn't a huge fan. You know, just... And maybe that's because I admit Nickelback hasn't always put out the best material, and I was so used to the stuff that I've grown to love over the last few years, because it's been quite a while since was it 3 years since No Fixed Address?
Yeah, 2014 was No Fixed Address.
Yeah, so three years basically.
Yeah,
and it's not, and they had a lot of good stuff on there. They weren't all hits. I mean, we reviewed that on Geekcast back in the day, and so I guess I was just kind of locked into this, kind of what I saw as good Nickelback, you know, because I hadn't had any fresh stuff in a while. And now in the subsequent, you know, two or three or four times I've listened to the track, you know, kind of in preparation for this little bit here, it's kind of started to grow on me, and it's definitely got this I don't mean the band per se, but it's kind of got this Rage Against the Machine vibe to it, in regards to, you know, maybe Big Business or, mm-hmm. you know, that's the 1% and such like that. And it's really, and some of the guitar work in here is just, wow.
The guitar work in this, in Feed the Machine, is almost akin to The State. I mean, it's all like, look, over the last 11 years, okay, and the reason why I say 11 years is because the last time they went, okay, so you look at, oh, The State came out in 98. Wow, not 2000 like I thought. Anyway, you look at their discography, and we have extensively over the last few years, but between Silver Side Up and The Long Road, that was 2 years, 2001, 2003. Between The Long Road and All the Right Reasons was 2 years, 2003, 2005. Everything since All the Right Reasons has been 3 years later. So Dark Horse was 2008, Here and Now 2011, and No Fixed Address 2014, and obviously now Feed the Machine is coming June 9th of this year. And the thing with Feed the Machine is, and what I've noticed about Nickelback over the last couple of albums, they have had one of these politically charged songs for each album. You look at Here and Now, and it's, you know, When We Stand Together is pretty much, hey, look, you know, let's all come together and be one and whatever else. And you look at No Fixed Address, and it's Edge of a Revolution. You know, that's pretty much their political song kind of piece. And Feed the Machine does kind of have that. But what I like about it is, you know, you look at a lot of the, you know, at least two or three of the last albums. You know, you look at No Fixed Address and Here and Now specifically. They've got Satellite on No Fixed Address. And I love that song. I'm not saying it's a bad song. But, you know, they've got that. They've got What Are You Waiting For? So they've got this. And, you know, on Here and Now, they've got, you know, Holding On to Heaven. They've got, you know, some other soft ones. So they've become a band where they mix in the hardcore rock stuff with some more poppy, and not pop, but you know what I mean, where it's like radio friendly, like, hey, we can get this played on air kind of thing. And what I think with Feed the Machine is, I don't know what the album itself is going to eventually be, but I think it's going to be more of the hard rock, more of the original, like Curb and The State and that kind of stuff. It's going to be the old, it's kind of like Blackstone Cherry. You know, you look at Kentucky, which came out last year, and that's pretty much their hard rockin' album. Again, they've got a couple of soft songs on that, but, you know, it's pretty much all hard tracks. And I'm hoping that that's what Feed the Machine is going to be, is a lot, you know, a lot more hard rock tracks than soft rock tracks.
Oh, you know, it's definitely Feed the Machine, like, just listening to it, like I said, the two or three or four times here, is definitely, it's not a shout out, but they're kind of returning to Curb, The State, Silver Side Up, like those first initials, you know, where they're young and hungry and just trying to put out the best stuff they can, which is really something you get from this. And you look at Dirty Laundry, which, you know, as Don Henley wrote with that song back in the day, it's they're not changing the lyrics. It's basically talking about mass media journalism and what a concept. I looked on the wiki for the original song, Yellow Journalism, which is basically sensationalized news with little or no actual evidence or corroborated facts about the article, which is a great kind of song in and of itself. But I mean, one of the best things they did on Dirty Laundry was there is this extended guitar solo that Chad Kroeger plays in about the beginning of the third, back third, last third of the song. And actually, one of the versions of this song that I watched was a live video from a performance in a concert in Germany last year. Right. Audio was solid there, but to see Chad just like have Mike and
Ryan,
who's the other Brian? Ryan Peake. Like, you see them, they're still playing their bits, but they take that step back and Chad steps to the fore and he just lays it out. I'm just like, I knew he could play, but I was like, holy shit, Chad Kroeger can play.
Yeah,
you know, and it's just like, it's set. Like, as much as I'll probably grow to love Feed the Machine, but Dirty Laundry, just son of a bitch.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. The thing with Feed the Machine, it's interesting. Nickelback has this formula, and people have thought it was a conspiracy theory, but almost all of their albums, at least from All the Right Reasons to now, have had 11 tracks. And I've heard other radio DJs and other interviewers ask Chad Kroeger and things about that, and they're like, well, they pay us per song, so if they're only paying us for 11 songs, we're not going to give them more songs, kind of thing. And what's interesting, because in order to get Feed the Machine, you had to pre-order the thing, so I had to pre-order it on iTunes, which is fine, I don't have a problem with that. But according to iTunes, Feed the Machine's only 10 tracks. So that's going to be interesting, because if I remember correctly, the last album that was only 10 tracks was Silver Side Up. because the long road had bonus tracks and things like that, whatever else. But anyway, folks, I know everyone's pretty much tuned out at this point because everyone in the world hates Nickelback, but feed the machine because it's hungry because, oh my God, June 9th or June 6th or whatever, Nickelback's next new album is going to come up. As soon as this album gets released, as soon as JT and I review it, you'll probably not hear from us about Nickelback for another 3 years. So,
yeah, we'll go back into the dark recesses of the Batcave and just, you know, survive on illegally downloaded music and Doritos.
Yep, exactly. All right, folks.
Not
we're going
to advocate that.
Yeah, no. Well, you know, Lyle did take a nap, and that's how they got the name Napster. Anyway, bad Italian job joke, guys. All right, so that's it. Nickelback, Feed the Machine, new album coming out in June, like a week after the album release. They're going on the U.S. tour and all that good stuff. We're going to take it back to myself and Ryan the Uneven Flow with some more nerd news after this. I think we're going to be talking about Toy Fair, so we'll be back in a moment.
right, folks, I know you probably fast-forwarded through that Nickelback stuff with JT and I, but maybe some of you stuck around, because Feed the Machine, the new single, is a little bit harder than what they've been doing the last couple of years. Would you say or not say that, Ryan?
Oh, I'm talking now? No, anyway.
Yes, you are.
Yeah, it is. I don't know, it's not bad.
Would you say it's somewhat, not really necessarily almost, but somewhat similar to the original old stuff, like from The State and things like that?
Yeah, it's closer to that than anything more recent, as in within the last, couple of years.
Yeah, yeah. I remember when they put the teaser out for this, and JT and I already talked about it, but I remember when they put the teaser out for this, I'm like, ooh, cool, because usually when they do the teaser, they only do like a, you know, 2 or 3, 30, maybe even just 30 seconds or 5 or 10 seconds, and I love the guitar riffs in it, and I love the drums, so. But yeah, that's probably going to be our only Nickelback coverage for a while, folks, at least until JT and I come back in June to review the full album. So, there's that. All right, what's next? What do we got next here? Well, it's time for Toy Fair, folks. Now, you've been watching the Toy Fair coverage, and you're not too thrilled with some of the...
I'm not too thrilled with, Hasbro. For people who don't know, the Transformers toys from Hasbro are the sort of line for the kids shows is Robots in Disguise. Mm-hmm. And then they still have the classics / Titans Return, Prime Wars, Combiner Wars for the older fans that are, the designs are kind of based on the comics. Well, for example, one of the original characters to the comics is finally seeing a toy released of her, Nautica. Mm-hmm. And they're putting it in a 5-pack as the only way to get it, at least so far. So that's kind of a piss-off. But, I don't know, there's a lot of good stuff there. I'll continue on with the bad. So I sent this to you beforehand. There's looks at some of the Justice League characters from the movie, and probably, I think, the most notable. Everybody looks pretty much the way you'd expect. Like, the Flash toy looks pretty good, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. The one I find weird is Cyborg, where... it's only his face that seems even remotely human.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get the feeling of Cyborg from him. It seems more like... he looks... reminds me more of Steel.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, the entire body is made up of kind of circuitry-looking bits. Like, there's... the only part that's recognizably human, again, is the face. So it's kind of a weird design. Now, I mean, maybe the toys won't match the movie perfectly. But honestly, considering the others, it matches the movie pretty well. So presumably it will.
Okay, now correct me if I'm wrong, because I probably will be wrong in this, because I've only seen Cyborg several times. Like, I don't follow his continuity all that much. I've seen him in Teen Titans. I've seen him in a few other places. The face stuff on the toy here looks accurate. It looks like it's you know, half flesh, half metal. Oh God, now I'm having bad Silverhawks jokes in my head. Partly metal, partly real. Wow. In the comics and in the other cartoons and whatever, wasn't it always him half and half all the way down? Or at least at one point I thought I remembered his arms were one was fully metal and the other was...
Yeah, it's dependent on the artist, the interpretation, and the version. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, yeah, there's been at least some more human showing. And then even then, there have been versions of him where it's just the face... but the joints, like around the elbows, knees, etc., were never sort of this robotic. There was still more resemblance to the human form. It's not a huge issue. It's just weird that that's the first look we get at the character. And yeah, he seems way more machine than what we're used to. Yeah. There's a whole ton of Marvel stuff talking about first looks at characters as well. Mm-hmm. From a variety of things, including, I think, you know, most people at this point have already seen some of the Spider-Man Homecoming figures. They showed off what's going to fill the rest of the line, which is comic book characters, but who aren't in the movie. Like, there's nice, like, Marvel Legends, Moon Knight, Tombstone, etc., as part of the line. Sadly, they will not be in the movie. But, yeah, no Beetle and Captain Universe either. But still, it's nice. The Netflix Legends stuff got shown off again. So there's Jessica Jones, The Punisher, John Bernthal. Elektra and Daredevil are the new ones, including an updated Daredevil, more based on the season 2 version of him.
Okay.
Trying to think of what else that I really... The one thing... One of the pairs I really liked was... Oh, man, and now I can't remember the name of the characters.
Well, while you're thinking about that, think about that for a minute. Let's go back to Cyborg just for a second, because this might be the best caption ever on the website you sent me. Our first really good full-length look at DC movie Cyborg, who still looks like he's being eaten by Michael Bay's Megatron.
Two of the ones I really liked, well, four total, I guess, all video games. One is the Portal... figures of Atlas and Peabody. Those are the two characters you would play in Portal 2 co-op. They look really good. And the two other ones are more of Dark Horse's series for The Witcher. They're doing Shawnee and Dandelion. That series is A, fantastic, and B, Witcher 3 is one of the best games I ever played, which I finished last year. But yeah, I don't know, it's a lot of good stuff. The Hasbro stuff is nice, but admittedly, in terms of Transformers, I keep buying the third-party, super expensive ones. It's hard to compete, you know, a $20 figure with something that somebody's, you know, custom making at $200 price point.
Yeah.
But yeah, those are nice. The Overwatch figures are adorable. There's a ton of different... Unsurprisingly enough, Batman, Justice League, et cetera, figures. There's a number of different sites to go to that are covering it, but I just think it's interesting. We're only 2 days in now. Some sites, most of the sites I'm looking at and checking out haven't done a day two wrap-up of a lot of the shows and that kind of thing, so kind of waiting for that, but...
Yeah, and I mean, Toy Fair... usually a lot of stuff comes out of Toy Fair. It's kind of the first... And even Toy Fair is really just for the companies, though, right? It's not really for us. It's not, you know...
No, it's mostly, yeah...
It's mostly for, you know, the companies and the... You know, to show the investors, you know, hey, this is what we've got going on here, kind of thing. But it's nice that they're still, you know, putting that out there for the rest of the world to see, and I think that is super cool.
I think a lot of it, too, is this is the first look at a lot of movies and stuff now. Like, Toy Fair's grown from just basically being about toys. You're seeing all the comic book characters that are being covered there. You're seeing all the movies that get covered there and that kind of thing. Like, so, yeah, it's more than just one grouping nowadays. And you've seen the same with Comic-Con. Comic-Con used to be... predominantly comics, and now you go to any of them in any city,
right?
And it's a lot of stuff that's popular now in pop culture.
Yeah.
So yeah,
absolutely.
I almost forgot one of my other favorite ones. Marvel Legends is finally doing a Jane Foster Thor, which looks great.
based
on the comic series. I've loved that series. Although part of that is I'll read anything that Jason Aaron writes. Which is why I initially picked it up, because I became a huge fan of his after his run on Punisher Max, and then I started reading some of his indie stuff and that kind of thing, and now his current stuff is phenomenal. Doctor Strange, Thor, and Southern Bastards are three of the favorite books of mine that I'm reading. So,
awesome. Very cool. Very cool. Toy Fair is going to be interesting to see what else comes out of that, and we'll probably have a full-on recap next week after we see what...
I'm sure you'll want to talk about... There's a full-on Batman the Animated Series Batcave playset, complete with Arthur... complete with Alfred. Sorry, I was making fun of somebody for not liking Curry, and I made an Arthur Curry reference to him. But anyway.
Wow.
So I got them mixed up. But anyway, yeah, it's a Batman animated series. It's like the Batcave with the computer and et cetera, et cetera. And it comes with an Alfred. That's another one. Very cool. The Batman animated series stuff has been great.
Yeah, it has.
I got a friend who he collects it and has been collecting much of it, and he orders them through me and my comic guy because he gives a good price on them, and so I get to see them all in package and everything as they as I deliver them to him, and yeah, they're all really nice. Like, if you're a fan, should at least pick up like one or two of them to hang around. Some of the really nice ones, like the Mr. Freeze, is amazing.
Very cool, very cool. Yeah, any of the DC stuff that is done with Batman the Animated Series, I absolutely love it. The DC Collectibles BTIS stuff is great. And it's just so fun to go back and look at all that stuff. And especially with BTIS being 25 years old this year.
I'm old. Well,
you are not. Oh, stop. I'm old. I can't handle this. I'm too old for this more. Anyway, all right, folks, we're gonna kind of cut nerd news a little short this week. I did want to bring up a few things for some housekeeping at the end here. Mike Dodd is doing really great. Just to let everybody know, his YouTube channel link will be in the show notes here. Please go click on that. Watch his daily vlogs. They just got a new place. He told me that they are going to be doing like a house video tour kind of thing in a couple of weeks. So, you know, so glad that Mike is getting back on the healthy track. And I've seen his Facebook posts and Twitter posts and about how much weight he's actually losing. And I'm just so happy for the guy because he deserves to get his ass healthy, you know. No more, you know, scouring the country for Ecto Cooler, Mike, you know, but it's just absolutely amazing, and he's doing really, really well. Next week we may or may not have a special guest. I don't know. I have to talk to the person. I know that, our good buddy Randrew said that he would come on next week now that he knows it's a regular thing. Well, how is it not going to be a regular thing anymore? Anyway, so, and join Ryan and I over on Remote Control. We'll be doing Breaking Bad Season 3 later this week at some point, probably released for the weekend. But yeah, that's it for Nerd News. If you guys have any stories, send them to us, let us know. If you want us to talk about anything specific, again, you can tweet at me, at TFU and Mike. You can tweet at This Week in Geek, or Ryan is at Nightbeat. Anything else you'd like to say before we get the heck out of here?
Nah, I'm good.
All right. Yeah, I think that's about it, folks. So lower your shields and surrender your listenership, and we will catch you next time.
You just made the list!
All clear.
Which, you know, if you run a chainsaw randomly.
Anyway. Yes, I know.
Want to see me make bubbles with my spit?
Sure do. In fact, that's the theme of our next show. So don't make it.
Let's do this. Let's do this right the first time.
Let's kind of start off with the Asmophere. The biggest twat, and my night got fucked.
I had a great time.
Fucked! This is the Fury. I'm bringing the Fury.
He's mad.
Where am I? Well, I'm at the movies.
What? It's not my fault.
Because you're being a jerk about it. Anyway.
What?
I'm a nice
so
guy.
So strongly. He'll bitch about it later, like, as you could tell, for the whole internet to hear. What?
I'm not crazy.
I don't fly off the handle. Like, what?
Stop hitting the mic.
No, it's to emphasize my point.
You can make any noise anywhere else. Stop hitting the mic. That fucks it up. Don't do that.
Mm. Oh my god, you're such a baby. What?
I just fucking did!
Would you shut up? Seriously.
This is the Fury. I'm bringing the Fury.
He's mad. What?
Where am I? Well, I'm at the movies. Like, well, no shit. You didn't need to fucking tell everybody that.
What?
Pre-show? What was the pre-show? So everything you saw before that was pre the show, which makes the pre-show.
As you can imagine, they don't let us out much.
You've been listening to This Week in Geek. Tune in next week to hear, somebody random. I don't know. Maybe even a hot chick. Yeah, let's go with that.
Did anyone ever tell you that you were very, very sexy?
How are you? Actually, no.
They never will.
Check out our website, thisweekingeek.net, for more geek content. As well, subscribe to our podcast through iTunes or any podcatcher. If you'd like to comment on this episode, head to this episode post on thisweekingeek.net and comment through Facebook Connect. Or you can call our voicemail line at 817-717-7202. Send us a Twitter message by replying to @thisweekingeek. Lastly, you can email us at feedback@thisweekingeek.net. This extra music was produced by Prono Bozo at pronobozo.com. We'll see you next time, and remember,
lower your shields and surrender your listenership.